Pray with me, please. I thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to come here to this day and stand with your people in this community of faith. May we embrace the truth from your Holy Scripture and know what it means to love you and follow you and serve you in every way. Let us receive your grace today, your touch in our lives, and know that you have our very best in your heart. We thank you for these things, and we ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you knew that God would say yes to anything you asked of him, what would you ask? If you absolutely had assurance that the answer was yes, what would you ask God for today? We're going to take a look at four passages of Scripture, and good luck keeping up, because it's four of them. We're going to move back and forth and back and forth, so try it if you want to. Keep your finger on the page or jot down the notes and look them up later, because I had this sense that I didn't want to talk today simply about one person who couldn't walk, but about four people in Scripture who could not walk. And so we're going to launch right into these. The first one that we see is a man in John chapter 5. And he was called the man by the pool. And in John chapter 5, this man is actually called an invalid. I really don't like that terminology, invalid. But it was the terminology that's used and still used today to an extent. An invalid was somebody who was not able to walk. And let's take a look at this passage from John chapter 5. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Can you imagine? When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Quite a question. For 38 years, this man had been lying by this pool, and it was kind of a mysterious pool. At times, the waters would get agitated, it was believed, and people thought that the first one into these agitated waters, the first one that was there, would receive a healing. And so because this man was paralyzed, he was an invalid, he was not able to get into the water. He said he didn't have any friends to help him in. Somebody else would beat him to the waters and get what they thought would be a healing out of being in these agitated waters that were stirring up for some kind of reason. And so Jesus sees him there and sees him with all of his excuses, sees him with all of his hopelessness because he has no friends to help him out. And Jesus asks him this very pointed question, do you want to get well? Do you want to be a well person? You've been in this state for 38 years, and this is what you know. Do you want to be able to get up? Do you want to be able to walk? Do you want to take responsibility for your life? Do you want to have responsibility in your community? Do you want to be a contributing? Do you want to be well? Do you want to get well? It's quite a question for God to ask, and it's one that we have to wrestle with today. I'm wondering what your answer to the question is, do you want to get well? The second man is what we call the man on the roof. And this is in Mark chapter 2. And this man was called a man who was paralyzed. Yet another word was used. A great story is in Mark chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. It's a great story. Jesus is inside somebody's house, and I mean, people are around him, and the living room is crowded, and you can't even get a peek of Jesus through the opening of the window. I mean, there were crowds everywhere wanting to be around Jesus, and Jesus is just preaching. He's just teaching the word of God to them. And these guys knew that if they could bring their friend, four of them carrying him on a mat, if they could bring their friend to Jesus, that there was hope for their friend who was paralyzed, hope for their friend that he might be able to walk again. So they go up on top of this guy's roof, and they, you know, it's a thatched roof made of fat and mud and all kinds of things, and they dig a hole in the guy's roof. Can you imagine being in the scene below? Can you imagine Jesus is there and he's doing his teaching, he's preaching the word of God, and all of a sudden dirt and straw and whatever they made it out of, dung perhaps in these homes of that day, begins to fall on their heads and it begins to come down, and all of a sudden the attention is not on Jesus but on the roof, and pretty soon you can see the opening and the light of day, and then suddenly there's this mat being lowered down and here's a guy before them. Before Jesus, and he's paralyzed. The next story is the man at the temple. It's in Acts chapter 3. And it's not Jesus any longer, because Jesus has now died and risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, and he's appointed his followers, his believers, to do the very things that he's done. Peter and John are there with a man who is called lame. One day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried, again by some friends, being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Every day people would come to church, they would see this man. It was daily worship, daily prayers. They'd see this man. He was a fixture. He'd been this way from birth. He'd been brought there from probably early childhood. And now he was a full-grown man, and there he would be to beg just for something, some food, some money, something to sustain him through the day and into the next day. We move to the last one, what I call the man in the pagan city. Pagan is a term that we use to mean not a follower of God. Actually, these people followed multiple gods. These people in this city, it's the only one of these stories not taking place in a Jewish culture. And this man in this pagan city was a man who was surrounded by people who followed what we call the Greek culture, the Roman culture. Zeus and the many other false gods of the day. It's in Acts chapter 14, and he never walked in his entire life. It says, in Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. And so we ask the question, what do these men want? What do they all have in common? And I believe the thing that they had in common was they needed to walk. If they could ask God any question and they knew the answer would be yes, perhaps they would say, Lord, help me walk. Would you help me walk? And interestingly enough, in all of these cases, God delivered. Look what it says in the man by the pool. Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. And the man who had been there for 38 years picked up his mat that he'd been lying on, and he walked after 38 years. The man on the roof that was lowered down by his four friends, Jesus said, take your mat and go home. And where before there was not even enough space to get in to see Jesus, now the crowd just parted. And this man picked up his mat, and he walked right through the crowd, right out of the home. Miracle. Peter and John went to the temple. The man was there. He'd been that way from birth. And they said to him, in the name of Jesus, walk. And the man stood up and began to walk. And people were curious about what was going on and began to wonder what was happening here. And some were even agitated that Peter and John had done this kind of thing in this man's life. They didn't fully understand what was happening. And the man in the pagan city was there with Paul. And Paul looked at him, this man, and he said, stand up on your feet. And this man who from birth had never stood on his feet, now stood up on his feet and began to walk. And interestingly enough, the people in this pagan city looked at Paul and his sidekick Barnabas, and they said, this man This man Paul and this man Barnabas, they are gods. And they called their friends from the temple of Zeus. And the priests from Zeus came out and began to offer sacrifices to Paul and to Barnabas and said, Paul, you're a god, you're a god, you're a god, we worship you. You see, when you begin to do the things of God, people misguide you for being the person who gets the glory. And you begin to get the glory. Careful, folks. And all of these people had the same thing in common. They said, Lord, help me walk. But what they really needed, beyond needing, what they really needed was to say, Lord, help my walk. Now, we use that terminology a lot in church, don't we? We say, you know, you're going to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And we have this all this kind of lingo we use in the church about our walk with Christ. And if you're a person who can't walk, that's probably not very comfortable lingo. But what these people needed more than anything, I mean, certainly they needed to be able to walk. They needed the healing. They needed the miracle of God, the miraculous touch of God. But what they needed beyond needing was their spiritual walk needed to get better. And if you asked them at the beginning of the day, if you knew God would say yes and you could ask God for anything, what would you ask God for? They would have said, I want to be able to walk. And we often think in the same kind of way, don't we? If we think about the things in our physical world, things that could be better, things that could help us, things that would heal us, things that would make us get out of our financial problems, things that would fix our relationships. We think if we could ask God for anything, what's the thing that we would ask for that would help God to begin to speak to us and to help us? And we think of this physical world. And I ask you this question. If you knew the answer was yes and you could ask God for anything, what would you ask him for? And though none of these people said, help my walk, it's where God really delivered. For instance, in John chapter 5, the man by the pool, Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. He sees him later walking, by the way, at the temple. Jesus comes up to him and says something very interesting. He says, stop sinning. The dude's only been walking for like 5 minutes. And Jesus says, get the sin out of your life. Interestingly enough, here's what he says. If you look at the full context, he says, stop sinning. Listen, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. What in the world is worse than not being able to walk for 38 years? Hell? Maybe? Jesus looks at this man who's unable to walk, helps him to walk, but he doesn't just help him to walk so that he can walk. He helps him to walk so that he can be a testimony in the world to others to bring glory to the name of God. And he says, stop sinning, get the sin out of your life, or something worse may happen to you. He's always interested in our walk more than our ability to walk. He's always interested in our spiritual being more than our physical being. The song we sang this morning, it is well with my soul. That is God's desire, that we could stand before him, that we could run before him and say, it is well with my soul. The man on the roof in Mark chapter 2. He was given the ability to walk. Jesus said, take your mat and go home. You know what else Jesus said to him? Your sins are forgiven. He said this to him before he told him he could walk. Here was a guy lying on a mat. He needed 4 friends to carry him around. And Jesus saw him not as a man who couldn't physically walk. Jesus saw him as a man who couldn't walk with God because of the sin in his life. A guy who wasn't able to move. Because of the sin in his life. And he said, your sins are forgiven. And that's what everybody got all in an uproar and got all upset at Jesus and said, you know, who are you to forgive sins? Only the Son of God can forgive sins. Who do you think you are? And Jesus says, oh yeah, you don't think I'm God? Watch this. Walk. And the guy stands up and walks. See, he's always interested more in who we are inside than what we're experiencing on the outside. Not to say that what we're experiencing on the outside isn't major. So if you could ask God for anything and you knew the answer would be yes, what would it be? The man at the temple in Acts chapter 3, Peter and James are there at the temple. This man's lame from birth. Peter looks out and says, in the name of Jesus, walk. Remember what happens? The crowd, the people that are there, the Jews who gathered at the temple, the religious people, our spiritual ancestors gathered at the temple, and they looked at this and said, what's this all about? This isn't church. This isn't the way you do it. What are you doing these things in the name of this man named Jesus? Don't you understand? This is the temple of God. This is the Jewish temple. What are you doing? And Peter looks then at the crowd and he says to them, you need to repent and turn to God. People who were very religious people believed in what we know as the Old Testament, believed in the Jewish Bible, believed in God, the same God we believe in, going to worship, and the call on their life was to repent. You know what repent means? Repent means to turn your life around. Repent is a word in Scripture. Metanoia means that's a change of one's mind, to change the way you're thinking, to change your thought process, to change, repent, and turn to God, go another direction. And his call was like, you see this man, he's able to walk. I'm more interested in your walk. We can walk. No, God's interested in your walk and how you walk with him. The man in this pagan city called Lystra, where they worshiped Zeus and all kinds, Hermes and all these Greek gods and goddesses. They came and they worshiped Paul, the man who stretched out and healed the man who couldn't walk. They worshiped him. And you know what Paul said to them, to the crowd that was there? He said, turn to the living God. You know what he really said? He said, turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God. Turn from the worthless things that are in your life, the things you think bring meaning, the things you think you that are misguided from the one true God. In your case, Zeus and statues of Zeus and idols and things, and the things you think, they don't really hurt me, they don't really matter, they're just, you know, in our day he might look at us and say, you know, we might say, they're just movies, they're just songs, they're just shows, they're just books, they're just blogs, they're just stuff, they don't really affect me. And he looked straight at them and he said, you need to turn from these worthless things and turn your heart over to the living God. I find it interesting that God is always more interested in what's happening in here than what's happening out here. It is well with my life. Praise God. It is well with my soul. God dances. If you could ask God for anything and you knew the answer would be yes, what would you ask for? See, if you would say, Lord, help me walk, if something on the physical side, something on the outside, financial, relationships, something like that, then offer God your legs. Offer your legs to Jesus. Offer your money to Jesus. Offer your relationship to Jesus. Offer the thing to Jesus that needs the healing and the miraculous touch of Jesus. But if you want to say, Lord, help my walk, then offer yourself to the community of believers. Be in community with the people of God, the people who claim the name of Jesus. If you want something temporary or temporal to be done, something in the physical world, something here and now, then offer that thing. But if you want to stand before God and say, it is well with my soul, there is no other way that I know than to get dirty and messy with the people of God. Get in people's lives. If you've been coming to this church for a while and you've been kind of sitting in the same area and listening to messages for a while and enjoying the worship songs, that is awesome. But if you want to say, Lord, help my walk, then you've got to, folks, you've got to get your elbows grease pit dirty with people. You've got to dig in to their lives. You've got to find a way to be in community with other people. If you've kind of been meandering along and going through, and you know you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, and you're a good guy, but you're just not pursuing it deeply. You're not going after all. You cannot stand before God and say, "It is well with my soul. I am believing and living and serving in the exact way that I know God wants me to." The only way you can do that is in the context of community. So Jesus always takes these people and he says, be in the community of believers. He tells them to walk, and they show up at the temple and the temple rejects them. You got to be at the place where the people of God are getting it done. So be in a small group that is challenging you. If you're in a small group that isn't challenging your faith daily, find another small group. I'm was really reluctant because I don't want somebody's small group to have nobody in it again. that's not my desire, my goal. But you got it. You got to be challenging each other and pushing each other and pressing each other in every way. This is what God calls us to do. I spent 3 days this week with a group of pastors, a number of pastors, and we were receiving training on what it means to be in one another's life, to basically serve and lead and help other pastors. So I received this training to help other pastors to be better pastors, better leaders in their life and in their church. Basically, that's what it was. And one of the challenges to all of that, one of the reluctances that I see is for many pastors to want that kind of relationship with another pastor. For maybe another pastor to want that kind of relationship with me if I step into that person and offer that person kind of who I am and where I've been and what I've done, what I know. One of the greatest things that's happened in my life over the past year and a half is we have this thing called Fruitful Congregations Journey. And for many of you, that just meant there was a consultation that showed up for a weekend, a team that showed up for a weekend, and they came and they had a report, we read it, and we voted on it, and you know, yippee-hi-o, right? For you. I mean, like, you don't hear much about it. You know, for me, that means every month I've been traveling to Indianapolis, and I meet with a group of pastors who are peers, who are all in churches of size of 400 and larger throughout the state of Indiana, and we hold each other accountable and challenge each other and ask each other very, very hard questions, and sometimes I get ticked off at them because of the questions they ask me. And it also means that I have this guy from Ohio that drives over here once a month, and he meets with me and staff and whoever else we want him to meet with. His name is Dan Glover. And Dan comes, and he asks these penetrating questions, and he challenges my faith, and he challenges my leadership, and he challenges me as a person, and it is messy. And many times I'm just in the middle of it thinking, why did I invite this guy here? I mean, I'm just feeling like, ugh, about myself. And every time I get, I finish that, it's 3-hour sessions. I finish those, and I'm like, I now know more about myself. I now know more about my relationship with God. You see, that's the way it works. It works that way for me. It works that way for you. You dive in and you do life and you find somebody and you invite them into your life and you get in a small group and you get a friend in the faith that you can walk through it with, and you ask challenging questions and you expose yourself and you say, here I am, and I'm just really spiritually, I'm just a guy lying on a mat and I need somebody to carry me around. And I don't want to be that guy anymore. Last night I just tossed out the question. If you could ask God for anything and you knew the answer would be yes, what would you ask for? And gotten a number of responses so far. Somebody said, to open the eyes of my friends and family that don't have a deep relationship with Him. That's a good ask. Someone else said that my children and grandchildren and friends would love and serve God with gusto. That's a good ask. If you knew God would say yes, what would you ask for? There's a bunch of them. I'm just going to name a few. That all people from all races would find Him as the loving and caring God that He is and carry out the Great Commission. That's a good ask. Somebody said, quote, a prayer to God, will you forgive me for everything and allow me to follow in your footsteps from now on? End quote. And then this person wrote, that would be mine. That's what I would ask. So I ask you today, if you knew the answer was yes, and you could ask God for anything, what would you ask? Father, we come before you today in the name of the powerful Jesus Christ. And we offer ourselves to you. Some of us may need physical healing. Relationship healing. Financial healing. Kind of personality or behavioral healing. And maybe, God, we need to get that out of the way first. So we're ready for that this morning. Whether we've been in this condition for a short period of time or for 38 years or since birth, we know you can turn it around. God, others of us, dare I say all of us, needs that and more. We need to be able to stand before you and say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Some of us try to go it alone with faith. We're like the guy by the pool and we say, I don't have anybody to help me. Others of us have a few people, like the guy on the roof. He had four friends, awesome friends who were doing whatever it took. But those four friends are only interested in one thing, helping us with what they can see, not with who we are. Father, we ask in the power and name of Jesus Christ today, that you would deliver on our ask. And whatever it is we ask for today, we ask it in your name, that the answer would be yes. So that we may say, it is well. It is well. Oh Lord, it is well with my soul. In your precious name we pray. Amen.